There we go.
All right, if you have your Bibles and your New Testaments, I'll invite you to join me in opening to Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And the beginning part of that in Romans chapters 1 through 6 is largely where we'll be spending our time, though we will venture a little bit outside of that today. Law or grace is the question this morning. And I was on my way in, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I titled this wrong. It's not titled wrong, but it could be titled better. And I was thinking, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair might be a good title. At any rate, our text this morning is from Romans chapter 6, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That's Romans 6, 14. And that's where we'll be spending a lot of our time this morning. There was a man, an honest man, a hardworking man, who slept one night and dreamt that he had died. And in his dream, he was standing in front of a gate, waiting to enter heaven. That gate was guarded by an angel. And he noticed a sign as he was moving up toward the gate that read, entry requirement, 1,000 points. 1,000 points. He thought, 1,000 points, huh? Well, do you think I've got it? Do you think I have that many? The angel said, well, I'm not sure. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your life? So he began, and he said, oh, well, I've lived peacefully with my neighbors. I don't cause any trouble. I'm not mean. I've never been in a fight. I don't hurt people. In fact, I help people when they need help. I give to the needy. When the Red Cross needs donations for disaster relief, I always give to them. The angel said, oh, that's very good. That's very good. You get 1 point for that. Well, that troubled the man a little bit. He started sweating. He was a little bit nervous. And he said, well, there's more. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. I've tried very hard, my best, to keep the Ten Commandments. I've never killed anybody. I've been tempted to cheat on my wife, but I never did. I was always faithful to her. I don't yell at the kids. I've never stolen anything, and I don't cheat on my taxes. The angel said, well, that's very good, too. You get 2 points for that, so you've got 3 now. Well, now the man was just desperate. Just desperate. He said, wait, there's more. There's more. You know, I've gone to a lot of churches in my life, and I at least go twice a year. I give money to churches. I give money to charities. In fact, when one church was burnt down, I helped rebuild it. I believe in God. I try to think about him often. And you know, I talk to him before every meal. And I try to talk to him especially when I'm golfing and fishing. The angel said, well, that's very good. That's admirable. I'll give you 5 points for that. Well, the man hung his head low. He said, I've got 8 points. I might as well give up. I'm never going to get those 1,000 points that I need. He raised his head and he looked up at the angel and he noticed a very huge, large sign above the gate with one word and simply read, law. Law. Last week we talked about a couple ways of relating to God, namely as creatures and as Christians because of our sin and the redemptive work of Christ. And it follows, since there are two ways of relating to God as creatures and Christians, then there are two ways of having fellowship with God in the sense of being in his presence. In other words, there are two ways of getting to heaven. Now, I don't want you to rush up here right now, okay? Because I know what Jesus says of himself in John 14. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is absolutely true. Okay, I believe that. And I would never teach or preach anything to the tune that there is there's a way outside of that that any one of us could ever get to heaven. Okay? But there are two. There are two. And only two ways that heaven's gates may be entered. Or we might refer to them as systems of salvation. Okay? They are law and grace. And what Paul is saying in Romans 6:14 to Christians is that we are under grace, not law. Okay? Christians relate to God in terms of grace. Everyone else relates to God in terms of law. Paul summarizes the difference between the two in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You guys know this very well, right? The wages of sin is death. Where am I? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I try to emphasize the keywords, but I've highlighted them. Wages and gift, all right? Those relating to God in terms of law, okay, will earn wages according to all their works in this earthly life. Okay? Those relating to God in terms of grace will receive a gift based on and according to God's love. Okay? So that's kind of the introduction and the summary of Paul's letter to the Romans all the way through chapter 6. Okay? Two ways of salvation. One is law, one is grace. This is the difference. One is a wage that you earn. The other is a gift you receive. All right? So that's the introduction. Now, for the remainder of our time, and this is critical, all right? If we're going to go on through the next few weeks, this is critical. I want us to understand the law system of salvation. Okay? We need to understand the law system of salvation so that we can realize, number one, its power or lack thereof. Okay? We need to understand it for that. We need to understand the law system of salvation too so that we can understand the grace system of salvation so that we may go and preach the gospel effectively and some may be saved. So, the question is, what is this law system as a way to heaven? And the nature of the law system is obedience, okay? The holiness of God governs the law system. In other words, the holy God will treat us strictly in terms of justice by giving us what we deserve or paying us the wages that we have earned according to our obedience to his commandments. Okay? This is the nature of the law system. Do you remember that lawyer who asked Jesus a question? Luke 10. All right? There's a lawyer and he asked Jesus a question. You remember it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay, now, I always chuckle when I read that a little bit because Jesus answers him in typical lawyer fashion. And Jesus answers him with a question, right? And Jesus' question to him is, what does the law say? You're a lawyer. What does the law say? Okay, the lawyer says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, very good. Very good. That's right. Do that and you'll live. Okay, do that and you'll live. Paul writes in Romans 10, and he refers to Moses, that a man who practices the righteousness that is based on the law, that man will live by that righteousness. Okay, in other words, do the law and you'll live. Okay, so the law system of salvation depends on how a person responds to the commandments or the particular law code that applies. Now, law code, we're talking about law system. Now we need to distinguish between a law code and a law system. All right. They are two different things. So law system is a way to get into heaven, right? A law code is simply a list of commandments one must follow. In particular, they are commandments that are divinely decreed that one must follow. They're not always the same for everybody. Okay, not always the same for everybody. For example, not everyone at all times ever has had access to the scripture, to special divine revelation, right? Paul says in Romans 2 that to those people, the law system, the law that they must obey to enter heaven is that law, that very law that God has written in our heart. Okay, in our heart. And they must obey it, and they must keep it to get into heaven. So there is a divine law code. Another example of a law code would be the Ten Commandments, right? List of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Right, this is a law code. Okay, different from a law system. So there are divine commandments, divine codes that we are accountable to and must obey. The divine law code in the New Testament era is simply the law that is outlined in Scripture under the New Covenant. Okay, under the New Covenant, and you'll just have to get into your Bible to determine what that is. So we have law codes, a list of command. Then on the other hand, we have a law system. What is a law system? Well, it is simply how a person uses the law code. Okay, a law system is a function of the law code. It does something. It functions often as a teacher, okay, teaching the difference between right and wrong. It functions in the role of, let's say, I don't want to say legislature, but judicially, it functions judicially, okay? Enforcing what is right, punishing what is wrong, okay? So it teaches, it enforces, it punishes, it operates in the social realm, setting a normal or normalizing right and wrong behavior. But what we're concerned with today is how does the law function regarding salvation? Okay, how does the law function regarding, so soterically, how does the law function regarding salvation? And it is essentially important that we understand this, because if we don't understand how the law functions regarding salvation, we risk failing to understand how grace saves. Okay, and we need to understand how grace saves, and there are only these two options, and the only way to understand them is to contrast them with each other. Okay, that's what Paul is saying in Romans 6:14. You're not under law, you're under grace. Okay, he's contrasting the two. The first, say, three chapters of Romans are explaining the law system. Okay, once you get past chapter 3, verse 20 and through chapter 5, Paul is explaining the grace system. And then he gives his summary in chapter 6, right, that terminates in the wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, if the law system were a game, okay, if the law system were a game, let's just make this as simple as we possibly can. Let's make it a children's game. All right, here's the rules. Here's the rules. Keep the commandment, escape the penalty. Break the commandment, suffer the penalty. These are the rules of the law game. The method of entering heaven under the law. But the point is, it depends on how a person responds to that law code. All right? Do we all get how the law system works? Okay? Keep the rules, win the game. Break the rules, lose the game. Simple? Okay, how does this apply? To whom does this apply? What's the reach? Why do I need to know this? Well, the application is universal. Okay, the application is universal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and law was simply the framework of existence. Okay, we have natural law that governs over the material universe, things like gravity and thermodynamics and all those big words that scientists like to use, right? These laws govern the material universe. Over the moral law governs over creation in terms of free will beings, okay, of which we are included. Okay, so the moral law governs, and so law was simply the way of relating to God in the very beginning. Acceptance by God and fellowship with Him depended and were contingent on how one obeyed that law. There was no sin present, okay, and so Adam and Eve. And the implication in Genesis 3:8 is that they walked and talked with God in the garden, and I believe that they probably did that quite frequently up until sin entered the world. Okay? But they walked and talked with God. Right? There was no need for saving grace then because there was no sin in the world. Okay, there had been no rebellion against the moral law code that God commands us to obey. But sin did enter in, and Christ's redemptive work became necessary. And so we are born into a world of sin. Now, I want you to understand this, because this doctrine can be taught, and I think it's fairly widely believed, but it's this doctrine of original sin, right? That we're born into sin, and so we're doomed from the very get-go. This is not the case. God is not a monster, okay? And I want to equip you with a couple passages of Scripture so that you might understand and be able to fight this. They are Romans 4:15 and Romans 4:13. In brief, these passages teach the doctrine that we come up with, that we kind of call in the Christian circle, the age of accountability. All right, Romans 4:15 says that where there's no law, there's no violation. Okay, well, where is there no law? Okay, where's there no law? Okay, babies. Babies, for example, are not under law. They don't understand law. Okay? They don't know what is right or wrong. Okay? Romans 5:13 says that where there is no law, there's no sin. Okay? And so where there's no knowledge of the law, there's no violation of the law. Where there's no violation, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there need be no redemption, right? So the doctrine that kind of comes out has been termed original grace, right? We're born under original grace. So that every one of those babies that has ever been aborted is with God in heaven right now, okay? That's why. Okay, because they knew no law. Where there is no law, there can be no violation. Where there's no violation, there's no condemnation, right? And so they are in heaven with God. That's what these two passages are saying. But there is a time when we reach this age of accountability, when we become accountable to the difference between good and evil. We know what is right, what is wrong, how to distinguish between them, they can choose. And so at that time, which is different for everybody, we need to use some discernment figuring out when that blanket protection of grace is removed. But at that time when it is removed, when we reach that age of accountability, okay, we are no longer under that protecting blanket of original grace, but we have been moved and transferred under this law system of salvation. So the law system of salvation applies universally. Okay, it applies universally, namely by way of this creature-creator relationship that is governed by the law system. Okay, so there's the scope. Now, here's the big question. Does it work? Does it work? Okay, that's question number one. And we'll discover that in fact it does not. Okay, it is impotent. Theoretically, though, it is possible to enter heaven under the law system. The ground rules state it, right? Keep the commandments, escape the penalty. Okay, the ground rules allow for one to go into heaven in that way. So all you have to do to enter heaven under the law system are keep the commandments of your applicable law code. Okay, well, that's not so bad. But here's the catch. Okay, here's the catch. You have to perfectly keep all of the commandments all of your life. Okay? It's not a balance scale. So that on this side of the scale we have did the law, right? And then over here on the other side of the scale we had didn't do the law. And so we just need to make sure that this did the law side outweighs the didn't do the law side. That's not how it works. 51% doesn't get you in. It never has and it never will. Okay, Deuteronomy 27:26, from the very beginning, in the very first law code that was given, whoever does not confirm the words of this law is cursed because they have not done them. All right, in other words, do the law, get the prize. Don't do the law, you're condemned. All right. Paul quotes this very same passage to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 10. And then James says, whoever keeps the law and yet stumbles in one point breaks the whole thing. So you can keep the entire, whatever law code applies to you, you can keep that entire law code your entire life, except that one little white lie that you told completely ruins it. Completely ruins it. So theoretically, though, it is possible because absolute righteousness will earn heaven. Paul says just that in Romans 2:13. The doers of the law, and now we understand that the doers of the law are perfect doers of all the law their whole life, okay? But doers of the law will be justified. It is possible, but we know it to be realistically impossible because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So here's the effectiveness of the law system. Possible, but powerless. Okay? Powerless. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, we have Paul's summary of the law system by works of law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. That's Paul's summary of Romans chapter 1:18 through verse 20 of chapter 3. But no one will be justified by works of law because all have sinned. That's the point of Paul's letter up to this point, is that under law, okay, under the law system of salvation, it's powerless to save because all have sinned. And only perfect obedience enters heaven under the law system, right? And so no one will enter heaven under the law system because simply no one is good enough. No one is good enough. The law gate is closed and locked by the sins of mankind. Period. End of story. But an encounter with the gospel changes everything. Let me rephrase that. An encounter with the gospel can change everything. Okay? You remember the rules of the law system, right? We're playing a children's game now. Keep the rules, win the game. Or keep the commandments, escape the penalty. Break the commandments, suffer the penalty. Okay? But what if you could change the rules? What if you could play the same game, but change the rules? What rule would you write? Let me tell you the rules that God wrote. Because it's the same game. He just changed the rules. The rules God wrote are keep the commandments, suffer the penalty. Break the commandments, escape the penalty. That's the rules of grace. That's the nature of grace. See, the difference between the law system of salvation and the grace system of salvation can be reduced to one single word, okay? And therefore, I thought of this title on my way in. It's not fair. Law system is fair. grace system isn't fair. The law system, the rules of the game, whoever's playing the game, right? To win the game, you got to keep the rules, right? And winning the game here is correlated to entering heaven, inheriting eternal life, and so on and so forth, right? But the player gets what they deserve, okay? It's kind of like that game, Chutes and Ladders, okay? You spin a little thing, right? I think it's a spinner, not a die, right? I think it's a spinner. You spin the little thing, you get a number, you move your little character forward a few, and if you land at the bottom of a ladder, okay, it's fair that you would get to climb up that ladder and skip a few ahead, all right? If you spin the little thing, you move your character forward, and then you land at the top of a chute, it's fair that you would slide down that chute and fall behind a little bit. But the game is fair. Those are the rules. Lily can't play by them, but those are the rules, and they're fair for each player. Okay? They're explicit, they're fair. That's law, okay? Grace isn't fair. Grace is not fair. It's actually more than not fair. It's the complete polar opposite of fair. It's anti-fair. I mean, break the rules, win the game. What? I mean, so really, every time Lily and I play Chutes and Ladders, she's teaching me grace. Because she always wins. She never plays by the rules. All right, but it's really good. It's really good if you're a rule breaker. Okay? But it is far from fair. It is anti-fair. But do you really want God to deal fairly with you? I don't. Okay? If I'm going to play the fair game, I'm playing by the law system. That's fair. You get what you deserve, right? And if I'm going to play the game of salvation by the fair game, the law system, right, then I'm condemned already because I'm a rule breaker. And the law system says if you break the commandments, you suffer the penalty. I don't want that. I want the rules of grace. I like the rules of grace because my condition remains that I'm a rule breaker, but God just changes the rules and he says, hey, break the commandments, you escape the penalty. I like that. That is nice. I don't want God to deal fairly with me. I want him to deal kindly with me. Now, he does deal kindly with me under the rules of grace. It's not fair, but break the commandments and you escape the penalty. That's unfair in a very kind way, right? It's unfair, but it's an unfair to be desired, right? But what about that first part? I mean, that's unfair. Keep the commandments, suffer the penalty. But that's unfair on a whole nother level. That's a cruel and unusual unfair. That's not a kind unfair. And you know, we've already established that all have sinned, and there's not one who will keep the commandments their whole life perfectly ever. So isn't it a little bit irrelevant anyway? Why don't you just erase that rule? I'll tell you why. Jesus. That part of the rules is never meant for you and me. Keep the commandments, suffer the penalty. God wasn't thinking of us when he changed the rules to that. He was thinking of Jesus. Jesus is the only one to have never known sin. 1 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians, rather. God made Jesus. He made him. Okay, the two pronouns. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. Okay? He knew no sin. Jesus is playing the grace game. And he's keeping all the commandments, knowing that his is the penalty to suffer. His is to suffer the penalty. He takes our sin and punishment. We get his reward. Jesus trades places with us. It's only because Jesus hung on that cross in our place that God can say to sinners, you can escape the penalty that you deserve. It's only because of Jesus. He traded places with us, so when God looked down on the cross, for all intents and purposes, he didn't see Jesus. He saw us, because he became our sin, all of our sin. And so God rained down the fullness of his wrath on him on that cross. And Jesus suffered eternal condemnation on behalf of all sinners. And that is the only reason God can say to you and to me, you may escape the penalty that you deserve. All right? And now, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, it gets even better. It gets even better, right? Because God looks down on Jesus on Calvary, and instead of Jesus, he sees us. But now God looks on us in Christ Jesus, and he doesn't see us. See, we've traded faces with Jesus. So God looks on us and he sees his holy, righteous Son, right? Because we become the righteousness of God in him. So he doesn't see Adam. He sees Christ and what he's done for me. Does that sound too good to be true? It does. John's shaking his head. It sounds too good to be true. You know why it sounds too good to be true? Because we have been taught our entire lives that this just way of thinking, that life is fair, right? You get what you deserve, right? I can stop working whenever I'm so old because I've earned so much and put it into retirement. I earned that, right? We've been taught our entire lives, you know, you raise your children up and you're saying, these are the rules or else you get disciplined, right? Because that's fair, all right? And as long as we constrain our minds to the mentality of law, to this idea of fairness and justice, we're not going to understand grace, okay? Grace isn't fair. And the problem with a lot of Christians is that the mindset doesn't match reality. Okay, the mindset doesn't match reality. See, they're under grace, not under law, but they're thinking in terms of law. They're thinking in terms of fairness and justice. All right, so throughout the next week, here's what I want you to do so that we can prepare for next week. Because next week, we're going to learn more about this grace system. All right, I told you we needed to learn about this law system so that we can understand the grace system. For the next week, this is what I want you to do. Okay, when you wake up in the morning, when you rise, I want you to say in your head, maybe even out loud, grace isn't fair. It's not fair because it's not. And I want you to condition your mind to this way of thinking so that we can understand grace properly, so that we can go out and we can effectively preach the gospel to a society that is just built on fairness and justice and legislation and all this other kind of stuff and say, listen, you don't want God dealing with you fairly. You want him dealing with you unfairly. All right? And he's got this system of unfairness, in which he takes our sins, puts them on his Son, and punishes him for them, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All right, when we come together next week, we will learn more about this grace system and how we make that transition from being under law to being under grace. But until then, may God bless you in the service of his kingdom by the riches of his grace. Amen. Our hymn of